But we love Michael Bratton, who joins us as the year 2025 comes to an end. Michael, what's going on?
Hey, Paul, doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're great to have you. Let's get right into this Alabama-Indiana thing, because Bama fans just are not taking Indiana seriously. Should they?
Paul, I think they should be pretty concerned. What, the point spread's what, seven and a half points? I don't think it's enough. And this is coming from someone who I love the fact that, shout out Brad, one of your great callers there, the Little 10. I hate the Big 10. I call him the Little 10 too. But, man, I think we're being disrespectful to Indiana if we're thinking Alabama is just going to have their way with Indiana. I'm rooting for Alabama to win it, but I don't think the 7 is enough. I think Alabama's about to get destroyed.
Well, I mean, again, this is an unusual number. Alabama hasn't been an underdog like this in about a million years, or 2008 to be exact. Help us understand this and talk to these Bama fans, because right now, Brad, I mean, they're hearing all the pundits. I was on with one this morning on First Take who said the exact same thing. The line ought to be double what it is. It's going to be a blowout. But they have seen their Crimson Tide do some unusual things this year. I know they've done some terrible things as well. So the forum is yours. Talk to the legends of the world and all the great Alabama fans who need a little religion right now.
Well, all I keep hearing, Paul, is a rationale for Alabama to win this football game is to play the undercard role. You know, we're mighty Alabama. We're never the underdog, yet we are here in this epic Rose Bowl, and that'll give us all the motivation we need. It quite frankly, Paul, it sounds like the opponents that have faced Alabama over the years during the Nick Saban era, that was about their only calling card was, hey, we're going to play the disrespect card, and then what happened was Nick Saban and Alabama would put a whooping on them. I think that's the exact same thing with old Indiana. I think that's what they're going to do to Alabama in this Rose Bowl. And again, I don't want to see that, but I'm just telling you, that's exactly what's going to happen. So play the disrespect card all you want. I think the only team getting disrespected is Indiana, because I think they're the far superior team in this matchup.
Okay, enough of that subject. Let's move on and talk about the Sugar Bowl. We'll be down there tomorrow, and you know, an all SEC matchup. There's no Lane. What's his name again?
Lane Quitting. Quit on his team,
no
Paul.
Lane Quitting.
He quit on the broadcast the other night. I don't know if you saw that. He showed up for the LSU game. He didn't even make it to the end of the game. He quit on them.
Yeah, I noticed that he dropped by, and then next thing I know, I saw clips of him exiting.
Yeah, well, hey, that's what he does best, right? Exit stage left before the mission's accomplished. So he's already off to a great start down there in the Bayou.
Yeah, but LSU fans really feel good about him. They're not listening to the Michael Brattons of the world. They're not, and they're not really even listening to Lane Kiffin talk about how hard he's pulling for LSU. What's the worst case scenario tomorrow? I think it's pretty obvious on Thursday night. Is it Ole Miss beating Georgia?
I think so. And, you know, I think the further Ole Miss advances without Lane Quitting, you know, I think his stock kind of gets diminished a little bit. Now, is that realistically going to happen? I think that's a different story, because I think Georgia is the far superior football team in here. I think Kirby Smart's the best coach in the game. He would never quit on his team like some of his peers. But I think Georgia will probably roll here in New Orleans. I'll be honest, I'm rooting for Ole Miss because I like the story. But give me Georgia. I think they're going to be hard to stop, particularly with Ole Miss defense. I think they just don't match up to what Georgia does. I mean, even the last matchup, Paul, Ole Miss came out, scored 5 touchdowns to open the game, and they still lost by double digits. So I just think this is too much of an ask for Ole Miss.
That Pete Golden defense did not exactly shine. Maybe he can handle it a little bit better on Thursday night.
Well, they better. They're going to have to force some turnovers. They're going to have to expose Gunnar Stockton, I think, and maybe get Georgia fans out on Mike Bobo once again. It depends on the game whether they love Mike Bobo or hate him. If they end up hating him by the end of this game, I think Ole Miss could have some success here.
Let's talk about another game, the one tomorrow night. And this is really a fascinating matchup in the Cotton Bowl with Miami. Their fans are talking a lot versus Ohio State, whose fans never stop talking.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it, Paul, because I want them both to lose. And it's got nothing to do with the coaches or the players. It's more about the fans. I can't stand either one of these fan bases, but I think it would be kind of funny to see Miami beat Ohio State after a more than a year of these Ohio State people in my mentions talking about the Big Ten being greater than the SEC, even though they've only essentially got two to three quality teams. But I'll be rooting for Miami. I think they could play with Ohio State on the line of scrimmage, but I think it'll come down to Carson Beck, and we all know about him. If he has a turnover or two, I think that could be the end of Miami.
Yeah, and I think that's likely to happen. One more game I want to get a quick thought from, and I'm sure you have not spent any time delving into the nooner tomorrow on Thursday. Texas Tech in Oregon. Yes, this is a CFP game, in case you were wondering.
Right. Oil money versus Nike. Who's going to win it, Paul? And my money is on the oil money. So I think Texas Tech, with their superior defense and their elite on the line of scrimmage, I think they'll get the edge over Oregon, but I was pretty impressed with Oregon in the first round, but I still don't know who that team was that they played.
Speaking of bowls, I know your Tennessee Vols are about to kick off, probably right outside your window. Saturday was a rough day. We saw LSU lose. We saw Eli Drinkwitz with yet another of his 15 contract extensions in the last 3 minutes lose to the ACC representative. That's hard to say with a straight face. Is there much on the line, or is it really all about how the SEC teams do in the CFP?
Well, it just depends on the outcome of the game, Paul. If the SEC loses, we didn't care. You know, if they win, we're the vastly superior conference. So at this point in time, we just didn't care about, you know, some of those lesser bowls. But I'm certainly confident that the SEC will turn it around, other than the Rose Bowl. And maybe I'll be wrong about that, but I think the narrative goes with the playoff, certainly, whether how strong the conference is. The rest of these games don't really matter unless we win them.
I know it's a final question. It's more of a question for next week, but if Alabama goes according to your plan, then it's all going to come down to Georgia, and it's going to be pretty tense next Thursday night, assuming Georgia gets to the Fiesta Bowl against likely Ohio State, because I don't know about you, Michael. I've made a lot of crazy promises. I think I've got to get my passport out if the SEC doesn't win at all this year. But you're not going to be in any better shape considering the name of your podcast.
No, without a doubt. And, you know, again, there's a lot of things we could complain about when it comes to the playoff and the committee and all that. But another horrible job, I think, by them, by pitting potentially Georgia and Ohio State in the semifinals. I think that game is the national championship game. So I think the winner, if it is Ohio State and Georgia, I think the winner of that game is going to be the national champion. So Georgia better come ready to play, because I think that's going to be their toughest test.
Michael Bratton, Happy New Year. It's always great. You've been a big part of our show all year long, and I think the rumor is we may continue doing this for at least a few more days. So thanks for everything.
Absolutely. Happy New Year's to you and your crew, Paul.
Happy New Year. Michael Bratton joining us. Don't forget, tomorrow live in New Orleans. We've been down there a couple of times on New Year's Eve, and we'll do it again tomorrow. More of your phone calls right after this.